don't know how long this is going to be. I got a short notice. I'm speaking tonight, so I hope it's I got everything in order. But let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And I was kind of, that chief stood out. And, you know, I've heard chiefest, you know. So I kind of looked them up in a dictionary. And I don't go to these new dictionaries. I go to an old dictionary I used to use back in junior high and high school. And my older brother used it when he was in school. So it's an old one. And chiefest wasn't in the dictionary. So I looked it up in the Strong Concordance, and the chief, of course, you know, means the top, the head, the leader of a body or a principle. And chiefest means exceeding or great, you know, it's even above that. And, you know, people these days are looking to be the best in everything. You know, in sports, you know, they're looking to be the best. They study and they train for years and spend lots of money to be the best that they can be. And they even spend a lot of money on their animals, you know, getting the right bloodline and all that. In fact, what Jeremy spent on his first dog, I couldn't believe it. You know, he spent a lot of money on that dog, you know. More than what I'd ever spent. But anyway, you know, people do spend lots of money, and they take great pride in, you know, if a dog wins a championship, boy, that makes that dog worth a lot of money. And that's what they breed them for, that. And all these activities entail work, headache, hope, anticipation, and triumph. You know, that's what all this, that's what they're looking for. But compared alongside with Christ, all that stuff is nothing, you know. In the overcoming Christian's life, you know, we have found the best, you know. The true value of what is important and the chief is in this life that we have now, is in Christ. And let's turn to you're going to hear some scriptures that Arlene, when she starts speaking, give these scriptures out. I said, oh man, there's my scripture. I'm going to read them anyway. Because, you know, if something is repeated, it probably needs to be repeated. You know, in the Bible, you know, things go over and over. It needs to be. So I said, well, I'm just going to read them anyway. So in First Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to just read verse 15 this time. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now here, Paul says that he is the chiefest sinner, you know. And if you look at his life, you know, before he became a Christian, you know, he was pretty bad. But he did these things in ignorance, you know. And but you know, you look at our life before we became a Christian, it was dark, you know, and there was nothing pretty in there at all, you know, in this life before we became a Christian. And let's read starting at verse 12 of this chapter, First Timothy chapter 1. "And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him in life everlasting. I like what Erlene said, the life everlasting. You know, that's exactly what it means. I really like that statement. And let's go to Acts 22. And I want to read verses 4 and 4, chapter 4. Acts 22, verses 4 and 5. It says, And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Four and five. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So here, you know, another of what Paul did, you know, how he said he was the chiefest, you know, how, you know, anybody would believe that, you know, would see how God could take him and make him one of the chiefest apostle to the church, you know. Now let's go to chapter 26 in Acts. And read, starting with verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So there we see Paul went everywhere he could to punish the Christians, people that believed in Christ, his sincerity of Christ. And his religion his belief in the Jews' religion, you know, caused him, you know, he did it, you know, to do this, you know, because... And when he got saved, it was a complete reversal. You know, he just turned him completely around. Now, instead of binding and putting in prison, he loosed them from their chains of sin and unbelief. You know, instead of causing death, he brought them to life through his gospel. And yet today, his gospel is still continuing to bring people, you know, loose their bonds and bring them into life, you know. And let's see, where am I? Okay. His few years of unbelief and sickness is far outweighed in the scales as compared to the thousands of years of blessings he has brought. You know, and he's still bringing it today. You know, people still are going against Paul for his for what he wrote. I looked online one year, you know, when I was out at work, you know, I did it during my break time, you know, and about Paul, you know, what it said. And one guy had a Paul, the false apostle. I go, you got to be kidding me. So I read a little bit and said, no, where are you coming from, you know? So he said, well, he's the only one that declared himself to be an apostle. Nobody else did either. I go, good grief, man. I can't believe it. So they're still out there going against Paul, you know, even today. Yes. Okay. And the grace of God brings men from the nth degree of sickness and death to the nth degree of righteousness. You know, brings it, you know. And like Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yeah. You know, so that is. So, and but you know, Paul was chosen absolutely through the grace of God. You know, and the cheapest man of this age was chosen from the state of being the cheapest sinner, and was made the cheapest apostle. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. And let's read verse 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very cheapest apostle. And let's go to 12:11. And I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the cheapest apostles, though I be nothing. So here we see, you know, now, you know, like these Corinthians, they were carnal and they were babes. Like Erlene said, you know, they stayed babes, and they needed the milk and not the strong meat of the word. And heard a preacher today, you know, trying to preach. He's going to preach on Romans 7, 8, or 6, 7, and 8. I said, and listen to him. I think he still needed milk. You know, he couldn't handle the strong meat, you know. And, and they cannot address the psalmody in which Paul has been exalted to. You know, he was, you know, but because this gospel that he gives, you know, we're going to be judged by this gospel, you know. And pride and self-effort blind the eyes and hinder the faith of some people, of babes that cannot see it, you know. Basically, self-effort, you know. Boy, I hear a lot of self-effort people that we got to do this. You know, we have to do. It's basically obey the Ten Commandments. And say, what is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Well, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. It's perfect. We're not. You know, but it's part of the law, and we're not under law. We're under grace. You know, the law of grace. And God knew that all humanity was not worthy. Else why would Christ, the worthy one, be stooped to such low depths and being made a curse for us? You know, that was the only way. The blood of Christ was the only way. Christ had to come and suffer. And and I heard one preacher say, you know, where, you know, Christ, when they had him up there before Pilate, you know, never opened his mouth. And I heard one preacher say, well, he knew that if he did, it wouldn't do him any good. I go, oh, brother. Man, you missed the mark.
They didn't see his spirit.
No, they did. Yeah. And if he would have tried to open his mouth to say something, you know, against him, he wouldn't have been doing it willingly. He did it willingly. You know, he went to the cross willingly. And to acknowledge but we take our place that God has given us through His Son. We are taking the place of humility in God's eyes. You know, we're going with Christ. You know, we're putting ourselves with Him in His humility. And to acknowledge that we are unable to earn or merit righteousness, there's no way we could do it, only through Christ. And then accept the righteousness of God's offer is being humble in God's eyes. If God says we are the sons of God, believe it. We are the sons of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And read 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Yeah.
So here we see. Paul knew that aside from the grace of God, he was not worthy to even be called an apostle. But because of the marvelous grace of God, he was the chiefest apostle. And in Romans 2:16, Paul says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, this is what we're going to be judged by. You know, and I'm glad that I didn't know the importance of Paul's epistles until I went to Bible school. You know, I never was taught, you know, I went to the Assembly of God Church, and I never was taught the importance of Paul's epistles. You know, apparently they didn't know either. So, you know, and Paul became the chiefest apostle because he believed God. In Mark 10:44, we read that, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and Paul was. He was a servant to all.
Yes.
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and asked if one could sit on his right side and the other on his left in glory. That was in Mark 10, 30, 35, and 40. Well, this place that has another place. The place is to be occupied by heavenly bride or heavenly company, the bride. They wanted the cheapest place, but the place comes with servitude. And, you know, the bride is going to, Christ says, if you suffer with me, then you shall reign with me. You know, so Paul gained his place first, provisionally through God's grace, and experimentally he came to the place by first becoming a servant to all men. Paul died many deaths, suffered many hardships, and earthly honor or fame, but was unknown and unloved by the world. You know, and still is unloved. You know, I guess some call him a false teacher. You know, and Christ is the answer to all these. He was the chiefest servant. Mark, the disobedient servant, you know, he pictures Christ as a true servant. You know, I heard a preacher say that Mark, when Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement about Mark, you know, and they went their separate ways, but Mark left them on the missionary journey, you know. So they says, oh, when he got back together, well, you know, things are kind of tied over, you know. He was accepted back because, you know, things kind of died down, you know. I go, good grief. You know, it shows that, you know, he failed, but he became a servant. You know, he went the right way, you know. And in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. I think we heard that today. You know, so the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister. You know, and Christ is the chiefest apostle. He was set apart and commissioned to do the greatest work ever accomplished, that in redeeming a simple humanity to himself. And we were simple. What greater work could there be, you know, besides what Christ did on the cross? Paul could fulfill his ministry only because Christ first fulfilled his ministry. His ministry or apostleship, his servitude, his being chief is the basis for the same to be fulfilled in us as we lay hold of what he has purposed for us. However, there are only a few who realize that Christ is the one. You know, there's only a few that really realize that. And there's a group of saints, overcoming saints. And, you know, the type in Song of Solomon, the Shunammite, you know, acknowledges him as the only one. And it took her a while to come to that place You know, sometimes, you know, you look at Song of Solomon at first, it's all me, me, you know, me, 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 and that. And then at the end, it's all you, you know, her bride, you know, her bridegroom. You know, this is her, other have their chiefs, their idols, but the bride of Christ will only see the one. You know, we have to keep our eyes on Christ. And chiefest in this place has a meaning of flaunt, raising a flag, be conspicuous, set up banners. Christ has raised banners over his people. There's a banner bearing the title Victory, another one redeemed. Still another and another telling what he has accomplished on the cross. The largest and greatest banner in the eyes of the woman of destiny bears the word love. You know the song that we sang? He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. You know, before long, he will raise another banner, bringing forth in letters of gold, coming bridegroom. You know, that's our goal, to be in the bride. But there's still another flag. Before long, it's going to be to the whole world. It's good judgment, because he's going to judge the world. How privileged to be linked with the cheapest one and have the privilege and hope of being his cheapest one. And I want to end with 2 Timothy chapter 3. We heard this one today too, but I still want to read 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay. And that's what I have.